is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. Bill Cameron in the lobby. Had an impromptu phone call. He should be able to join us shortly on this Thursday. Schedule's all thrown off with the holiday weekend. We didn't do shows on Monday and Tuesday. We were back yesterday with Jason Caldwell from Inside the Auburn Tigers, who was sensational as always. So check out the podcast. Let's take care of the business. Hour number one of The Drive brought to you by Kia of Auburn and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They also sponsor the hotline, 334-321-1390, the number to dial if you want to jump in on the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on The Drive text box. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and pull up the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, Spotify, Apple, Google. However you listen to podcasts, you can search for The Drive with Bill Cameron and leave a rate, review, subscribe. It all helps, and we appreciate any way you can help out the show that way. And again, those podcasts presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. So we're here on Thursday, a bridge, shorter week as Bill Cameron
returns
goodness. To the studio.
Yeah. No, I'm here. I've been here. Sorry,
you were in the lobby.
It's been one of those. Everything was going fine until I decided that I would swing by and pick up an item that I had ordered that it says what said was ready for me.
Before you get into the story, I feel like you have had mixed results getting things delivered lately.
Oh, getting things delivered is a problem. That's why I thought I'll go pick things up.
Not from one retailer.
Multiple. It's been multiple delivery services.
I was going to say, not one delivery service, not one retailer.
You've been to my house. You've seen my house. The numbers are right on the front porch and on the mailbox.
That's not the problem. Is there having trouble? I can't imagine it's the delivery people having trouble finding the house.
I don't know. Sometimes they go to the wrong street. Sometimes they go to the wrong address. But that wasn't the case today.
Well, I was going
to
say before, but we've talked about too, though, and delivery services, I think, are one party guilty of this. But can we move on from thinking that adults are going to be home on weekdays between 9 and 5?
I don't know why any... I think businesses, maybe companies, just love to, mess with people. It's like, oh yeah, sure, be home between all day.
Yeah, on a weekday.
And it's I guess everybody works at home these days. Maybe that's what the thinking is.
Although I think the thinking predates the work from home.
Oh
movement.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, as I've waited for cable to be installed and stuff years and years ago, and have to sit there for 6 hours, then you get they'll be there sometime before 9 p.m.
In the grand fashion of pointing out problems without having any real solution on hand for what you do about it,
I would say that's
one where I
hire better people. That's tough to do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really even hiring. I mean, it's asking them to work crazy hours. And you don't necessarily want to be waiting at 4 or 5 in the morning either for for the cable guy to come.
You're right.
Arrive. So it's there are limited windows, but So you ordered something and
all right. Yeah. So these are a couple of not terribly expensive items that I need to have over the next few days. I mean, I absolutely have to have them over the next few days. And they're not terribly expensive. And they're nothing that I would think most people would be really excited to, I've got this.
Right.
It's not like,
I've deduced what you're talking about.
I go to the place. And I mean, for example, it wasn't like the fellow two cars over who was loading a 70-inch TV into his vehicle.
Sure.
Now that would have been a lot different. This is not. And I realized as I got there right at 3 o'clock, and this is not too far from my house, I'm thinking, I've got plenty of time to get this and get on the air. I always run by the house, check the mail, put on a pair of shorts, and come
And you
by.
Were, to be clear, you were here with plenty of time to get on the air.
I tell you what, thank goodness school's not in session. I made it here in 8 minutes.
Nice.
Made it here. I caught every light green. It was great. I was worried about it. Made it here in 8 minutes. But for 30 minutes, I sat. I mean, I checked in. I put down the color of my vehicle, the parking spot I'm in. But then I realized, oh, there are a lot of people here that are probably getting a lot of groceries. Because there'd be carts and carts
right.
and carts. And I'm like, okay, I understand. I'm not at the top of the list. So I tried to call the number because it says if you haven't checked in online, call this number. Call that number, and it rings and rings and rings and rings and rings and goes to voicemail.
Yeah, people don't answer the phone.
No, anymore. they don't answer the
phone.
Well,
they assume you're a scammer, right? Because that's most of the time that's
But when
who's
it
calling.
Says call this number, if you haven't checked in, so I call the number a few times. And finally, as someone was coming out to deliver a car behind me's purchases, I waited until he was finished loading it in, and then I said, hey, I'm sorry, but I can't stay. Could you make note that I cannot pick this purchase up and that I'll be back later? He goes, well, we can hold it for you if you'll be back in a little while. I said, no, it'll be 2.5 hours before I could be back. He goes, oh. And I said, so can you just make sure that they knew that I had to leave.
Yeah, you'll be back.
I'll be back either this evening or tomorrow.
Yeah, put it in the unclaimed.
And so, okay, fine. He said, oh, sure. And so I thanked him, and he was very, very
This
friendly.
Isn't something that's breathing that you're buying.
No. Something no,
that, you know,
no, it's not.
It needs to be in the freezer.
No, it's not. So I went home, checked the mail really quickly, put on a pair of shorts, got here in 8 minutes with a couple minutes to spare. And then I look at my phone, and there's the email, thank you for picking up your package at 3:47, which I did not pick up. It says, you're all done, and you've been billed. Well, no, I'm not all done. I may have been billed, but I am not all done yet. What I was doing when you came in, I'd been on hold for about 6 minutes. And finally, someone picked up, and you know what they did when they picked up? They connected me to the department that never answers the phone. So that's where I am right now.
Here's my guess. This is a reputable retailer?
Yeah.
Okay. I would go there after the show.
I am.
And maybe go into the place and not in like the
I don't know if you can go into that part, but I'll go into the store.
I might just go into the store and explain it. Because I have a feeling that either your package is there and someone hit the wrong button.
Or they just
button,
gave it to somebody
or,
else.
Or in
and
which,
boy, what a surprise they're going to have.
But with the email you with the email you got, I think that you can show that to them. And if they gave your package to somebody else, they can make you a new package real quick.
I would hope so.
Of what else they have in the store. I don't think you're going home empty-handed if you go back to that store.
I had other plans after the show.
I understand.
But, I mean, that's fine.
And you may have to pick up the duster may have to wait.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make sure that he gets a little break before he sits in the car for a while.
He may have to wait. Or you bring him in with him. With you.
And he'd get something done.
Yeah, I think then you're leaving with a package and then
something. Yeah, I'd be leaving probably in handcuffs.
Yes, you're leaving with the package and the till. I think,
yeah, really.
If you bring him in there.
Oh,
but,
man.
But no, I think it's going to work out for you. That's
just one of those frustrating things,
sure,
when you think you've got plenty of time. And I guess I just hit it at the wrong time. Must have been a time where a lot of people are doing grocery shopping pickup or something like that. I'm not usually there at 3 o'clock.
I would think 3 to 6 is the going home from work crowd.
Yeah,
that hits
I guess.
I
was thinking I'd get there before the afternoon drive time crowd.
I miss the, and we've had a COVID ended some of this, but some of the grocery stores here in town used to stay up in very late.
Oh yeah,
I think the Kroger was 24/7.
It was
for a while, and so was the Walmart for a little while. I know those they both scaled back, but mm-hmm. that was always a relief, right? Because you got a lot of stuff's marked down.
You wander in a grocery store. I mean, that bread's got to go.
Anything from the bakery, anything that's been that they have cooked,
that stuff's got to go. Gonna be. You can usually find a pretty good deal for yourself that way. So
yeah. Well, anyway, so that's what I was doing there at the beginning of the show. I apologize for that, but here we are, and we've got a little different Thursday. You mentioned yesterday, and for folks wondering, Justin Ferguson is. Is somewhere around the beach.
He is in
on the Gulf.
Destin, Florida.
I'm not saying he's on the beach, though.
But he's made it, he didn't want to be coy about it. He's been, he is in sort of near the Okaloosa Island part of the end of Destin. So he's, staying over on that side. More classic Destin than your Miramar Beach.
Than
Sand Destin. Yeah, over there. But he's gonna go down to our old stomping grounds for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, good for him. So we should have him back next week previewing SEC Media Days.
Yeah, how about that?
Because 2 weeks from now, SEC Media Days will be winding down. We'll be done. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks from today, SEC Media Days will be done.
Here's what we can say. Monday through Thursday, all 4 days of Media Days, the 17th through the 20th. Do I have that right?
Right.
So the 17th through the 20th. We will be broadcasting all 7 hours of the original programming here on ESPN 106.7. Will be live for Media Days, at least in part, right? You're going to have the Max Roundtable there. Jacob's going to be there from On the Line. I think Carter's staying home. He's going to be in the studio. And then I'm going to be there
from the drive. I'll be here.
You'll be back in the studio. But I think the way we did it last year, and I would encourage people to listen to as much of this as you can, because we get great interviews with folks. The audio in both the big room and the small room is great. I mean, I've been able to ask most of the coaches questions in the small room over these last couple of years, and it's I think it's going to be another outstanding event. So, yeah, this upcoming a week from Monday, our coverage starts of SEC Media Days here on ESPN 106.7. You're not going to want to miss any of that. Should be a really fun week. And I think I can also say, Bill, and I'm going to be careful about this one, Drew. Get ready to turn my mic off. Big announcement coming.
That's what I've heard.
How about that? How about that? How about there's a really big announcement coming down the pike.
The week's almost over.
I'm waiting too, and we'll see. But a big announcement's on the way. So big exciting announcement.
Yeah, big
good
news.
Good no news. Questions. Big exciting announcement coming that we can tell you a little bit more about soon.
All right, did you hit all the
the biz
readings?
How would you church service? What would you? It's the those.
Well, that used to be assignments at school too. Yeah. You had required readings.
The posting.
That's part of that's on your syllabus.
Yeah, I read from the bulletin at the beginning of the show. So yeah. we've handled the biz, and you want to call it a first segment?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to mention Jake Crane will be joining us at the bottom of hour number two, usually with us on Tuesdays. Jake, of course, from Crane & Company, so we'll have him on. In the meantime, we're wide open. Love to hear from you. Again, the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. I'm going to hit redial on the phone as we get to our first break here on the Thursday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be. Routine.
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, 18 minutes after 4 o'clock. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, I heard a little bit as I was on the, as I was waiting. I caught some of the earlier show, and I heard Jacob and Carter talking with Lindsay about baseball. And I would say, there's no question that as far as following the upcoming Major League draft and college baseball players who could be drafted, that I don't know anybody who knows more about that. And I was reading some comments, something Brian Matthews wrote within the last hour, and he echoed the comments that were made yesterday by Jason Caldwell here on The Drive, saying things are looking up for Joseph Gonzalez to return. There are a couple of things going on. Lindsey Crosby was saying that there are more outstanding college hitters available this year because of sort of the backup from COVID and guys that had extra years, but just some outstanding hitters.
I would add to that that I think players with the NIL money that's out there in college baseball, and it's not overwhelming compared to the other sports, we think.
Oh, but it's something that makes them think as compared to some of the minor league salaries that they could be getting.
I think you're having fewer players going into the Major League Baseball draft from college just out of financial necessity because a superstar at a major college program can now legally and within the rules of college baseball earn money.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think that's extended some college baseball.
Earn money and maybe even win a title. I mean, like Paul Skeens, Tommy White and company there at LSU who came in this year as transfers. But there are a lot of upper class, big time hitters on the in the collegiate ranks, and that may push some high schoolers back and some pitchers back. And Jason was talking yesterday about Joseph Gonzalez. Brian today said he'd put it at 60-40 on Joseph returning, and says he also thinks there's a decent chance Bobby Pierce could return if he doesn't go very high and other players keep getting pushed back. He'd put him at around 60-40 coming back. Now, one of the things Lindsey was saying was that Auburn's highly touted freshman signees who have been projected to go very high, they might get bumped back a little bit because of the just the amount of talent that there is available from college. And that may give Auburn a better chance of retaining those players.
The ESPN.com Major League Baseball draft analyst, Kylie McDaniel, who's been one of the analysts they've been using for ranking prospects and projecting the draft. He wrote, I think it was yesterday, that as of now, the top three players on the board, all from the SEC, Wyatt Langford, Dylan Cruz, Paul Skeens.
In that order?
Here, how about this? He has Langford as the top guy on the board.
Because that's funny. I mean, that means the Pirates have been rumored to have been taking all three of those guys at different times.
But the difference between Langford, Cruz, and Skeens in his mind is very small. Mm-hmm. And he says that when those three sign with Major League Baseball teams, he would rank Langford as the 9th best prospect in the minors, Cruz as the 10th best prospect in the minors, Paul Skeens as the 13th. Best prospect in the minors. So talking about three
all
guys.
All three of the top 13 would jump into the top 13 prospects in all of baseball.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes. According to ESPN. And he says usually the top player in the draft.
Maybe 20.
Jumps into the 20s. Between 20 and 30.
I was going to say maybe 20 is about what I was thinking.
This is Adley Rutschman was the last guy to go first overall in a draft. And he's
been okay so far.
And he's done all right.
Yeah, look for him in the home run derby Monday night.
He was the last guy to slot in most folks' eyes immediately into the top 20 upon being drafted, but Langford, Cruz, and Skeens all could be top 13 prospects immediately once they sign with and they'll probably be some order the top three depending on what the Pirates want to do with the first overall pick on Sunday night.
Yeah, and the draft gets underway Sunday.
It's who's I forget who's third off the top of my head. Maybe it's
let's see. I can look at the
I know it's Pittsburgh, Washington.
Pittsburgh, Washington, Detroit.
Okay, so it's Detroit
with the Tigers third, then the Rangers, Twins, and A's. And then the Reds. The Reds have the 7th pick.
I know.
That is a team. Look out.
Well, they're division champions at the moment.
They look like that division could change.
They are
loaded with young talent, and they still haven't even brought up all their talent from the minors. And they're going to have the 7th pick here.
Yeah, I mean they've turned it around quickly. I think that So, and I know you're not crazy about all of the rules, but I think some of the rules baseball has implemented to speed along the process.
I like the youngsters coming up, but it just seems sort of funny some of the rules that they put in.
The rule about needing to be on a certain list if you win Rookie of the Year in order to get your team
if you have a player good enough to win Rookie of the Year, I would think it doesn't matter if he'd been on, you know, Baseball America or MLB's or whoever's top 100 prospects list.
As part of the collective bargaining agreement, and I'm going to do this from memory. I don't have it right in front of me, these rules about the way they've changed the prospects, the clocks and things like that for top prospects. But since the new collective bargaining agreement was agreed to, now if you're a consensus top prospect going into the season and you win Rookie of the Year, your team gets an extra draft pick for it near the beginning of the second round of the draft. I think a late first round draft pick is the reward, and that's to keep teams from holding their top prospects in the minors to delay their clock starting in the major leagues. I agree. It would also make sense to just give a reward for the team
for
that wins.
Any team who has a player that's rookie of the year. But you have some guys that come out of nowhere, out of the top 100, and, you know, are fabulous.
Sure, and I think rewarding teams for playing rookies is probably a good idea, but I think the specific intention here was a top player.
I'm trying to think of who
comes to mind. Was Chris Bryant a famous example of this, where it was like he was the perception was he was ready, but they were holding off on his promotion until it would get by an extra year. There were players like that where I feel like even Acuna, right? Like, wasn't there? Or no, Acuna broke with the major league team, didn't it? Ooh, maybe not. I'm trying to remember the start of the 2018 season and whether or not Acuna was
most
there.
Most didn't.
Right. Yeah. Then. It was. Yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago, teams would hold off on promoting.
It'd be the middle of May
until you could call them up and it would start. It would buy
their
you
clock,
an extra
yeah
buy
an extra clock.
Extra year service time. And I believe the Julio Rodriguez is the Seattle Mariner, right? Mm-hmm. I'm ignorant about AL baseball, but I've heard of him.
He's pretty good.
I've heard of him. Yeah. I watched the Home Run Derby. Watched a couple Mariners games. I do know him. He got the Mariners by winning Rookie of the Year last year. He got because he was a top prospect going into the season, and the Mariners played him enough for him to win Rookie of the Year. They have an extra pick in Sunday's draft towards the end of the first round as sort of the first example of a team. And I imagine the Diamondbacks, right? If Carroll wins Rookie of the Year,
doesn't win Rookie of the Year, it's probably because he gets injured.
Yeah.
He has a huge lead right now.
It would take an injury and a sensational second half by somebody who is, in the conversation right now, like Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer.
He is the most publicized guy that has come up.
Is there a rookie pitcher doing really well? Is there somebody I'm not thinking of on the pitching
front? I'm sure there is.
I mean, Miller is doing pretty well in the Dodgers. I know he didn't have a great game most recently, but he'd been. I was thinking the Braves. The Braves have tried a couple of guys, but it's
nobody not yet.
Not Strider. They have not had a Strider like success quite yet. But that's interesting stuff this Sunday night and. Joseph Gonzalez seems like someone who could really, really.
Oh, he could up his stock tremendously by coming back. So we'll see.
Who else from Auburn you think has a chance of going over the course of the entire draft?
Cole Foster, yeah, for sure. Switch hitting shortstop with power. Yeah. Oh yeah.
You'd love to see. You'd love, right? I mean, that's the guy you sort of assumed. Well, yeah, there's eligibility left with Cole.
Oh, there is.
But that's probably the end of the road.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Very
surprised.
When Justin was in here last week, he went to the Braves game. He had just gone to the Braves game the day before, and Edouard Julian was because the Twins were the Braves' opponent, and so Julian is strong side platoon second base and getting most of the leadoff reps when he plays.
Well, he has a great eye. I mean, that's one thing. His on-base percentage has always been very high. He draws a lot of walks.
The numbers against lefties have not been good, which, you know, not just this season, but over, I think, in the minors too, which would indicate that maybe it's going to be more platoon than every day, unless that changes. But he's still young, right? And he could come around against lefties and play every day as well. But right now he's in a strong side platoon there in the AL Central, and got to play at Truist last week.
334-321-1390. I was looking. I saw MLB, and I was going to try to see if I could pull this up really quickly, because on the front page of MLB.com it says here are the top draft prospects from each state, and I wanted to pull that up, but then they just, when you click on it, it just goes to the top 100 prospects. So I don't know exactly how to find each one that they have, but yeah, this is neat. I mean, Major League Baseball finally trying to get, it says Grayson Hitt, a lefty pitcher from Alabama, is the top prospect in the state. They have him number 88 overall. But yeah, Major League Baseball trying to, at least, I think it's a good idea on their part, and it's never going to be the big deal that the NFL or NBA drafts are, because these guys don't just come right in onto the Major League roster.
Although, I would say that if college baseball's TV ratings increase and continue to increase, in the last few years the postseason has been a bigger deal, you're getting at least bigger names.
You're getting bigger names,
at the
but
top
you're still
of the draft.
Not, you're not getting, you know, a Bryce Young.
No, I agree.
Part
of the fun of the NFL draft is knowing that
Webinyama,
you're going to see.
I mean, those yeah. guys that right. are expected to be huge yes. contributors yes. next year.
Part of the fun of the NFL and NBA drafts is knowing that the top players, especially.
You're going to see them.
Will be making an impact immediately.
Yep.
Major League Baseball does not have that. Mm-mm. But I think, especially this year.
But it's also great that they're doing it. When they're doing it now.
I love
it. You
yeah.
know, it used to be in the middle of the College World Series, and it just sort of jumble everything up. And now you wait, and here it is as part of All-Star Weekend.
Right, and I think turning it into as much of a party as mm-hmm. you can is going to help. And I'm sure that, you know, with the way they've turned the NFL and NBA drafts into big television productions, television events, I mean, now – I mean, the NFL draft is one of the biggest sporting events on the calendar, you know, outside of actual games. I could see why they'd want some of that in baseball, too, if they can recapture it. And maybe with some stars in college baseball and high-level, you know, famous, when you get the phenom high school player, you know, that'll draw some interest, too. But, yeah, intriguing draft on Sunday night in Major League Baseball.
One of the things that baseball has that you don't see as much in other sports is the family ties. I mean, every year there is the son of or brother of, you know, former major leaguers. And I mean, as I'm looking through,
well, yeah, wasn't Drew Jones the first pick
yeah.
in the draft last year? Andrew Jones' son, and then you had Jackson Holliday was one of the top. Maybe he went second.
He is one of the top prospects in baseball right now.
Right, Matt Holliday's son. Yep. I mean, a couple of outfielders that I remember from not all that long ago have sons who are looking like they're going to be part of a new wave
and you've got one of the top prospects this year is the younger brother of Bo and Josh Naylor, who are both major leaguers now. You've got a chance to have something that you don't see very often, and that's three brothers that have an opportunity to be playing in the majors at the same time. Has that happened since the Alouz? I don't know that
who
it has.
What about the catchers? The Molinas.
Weren't there three?
There
was Benji and
Yachty. Wasn't there a third Molina brother?
Maybe there was.
I thought there was a third Molina brother.
May have been.
And then the other one would be what about those guys from like Phoenix City? And they had the outfielder who played for the Cardinals.
Yeah, lefty.
And his brother was the reliever.
They were brothers.
And was there another
two.
One?
Oh, no, it was just two.
There was, okay.
But and then you have the generational ones like the you know Ripkins. when's the next Boone? When's the you know. Yeah. I guess we ought to get to a break. We took the first break early. We're taking the second one late. Love for you to join in. We're just heading whatever direction here on this Thursday afternoon edition of The Drive.
Three three four
888-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And we were talking a little bit about the Major League Baseball draft, which was coming up, and Auburn's, you know, some possibilities there for Auburn. Jacob, Joseph Gonzalez coming back. One of the things, as I was looking, reading at MLB.com, I see that they have Auburn signee Kevin McGonigal as the number one prospect from the state of Pennsylvania and the number 33 overall prospect. If he goes that high, yeah, it's probably goodbye.
Yeah, I was looking at some, and not a lot of folks project the draft past the top 40 picks. The Fangraphs mock draft.
Doesn't have him in there?
That just was posted earlier today has Kevin McGonigal as the 29th overall pick in the draft for the Seattle Mariners.
So two having him right there as a first-round guy. So, yeah, that's and Auburn knew that. But, I mean, I still like it. I'd rather see if you can convince those guys to either get exactly what they want or come to school, as opposed to, you know, sometimes in the past just not even taking a chance on those players and then wind up watching them play against you in college.
By the way, this is Eric Longenhagen writing this, who's a good writer for Fangraphs and a guy who knows the sport. He's got Dylan Cruz as the first overall pick in his projection.
Well, it's like whatever you prefer. I mean,
if you're talking about three guys that'll immediately be, you know, between the ninth and 13th,
when you're talking about somebody who's one of the top 15 prospects in all of baseball right now,
well, do you
like the all-around bat and combination of the speed and the hit tool from Dylan Cruz? Do you like the power from Wyatt Langford, or do you look for the most polished pitcher perhaps since Steven Strasburg in Paul Skeens?
There's another outfielder named Max Clark. He's a high school outfielder that folks say would be the top pick. He'd be among the top two picks in most drafts. This year he's probably going to go fourth unless one of the three teams decides to reach on him versus one of the more proven college players. But a lot of drafts have Max Clark going fourth overall after those big three. But, yeah, Dylan Cruz, I mean, the idea that a team picking third in the Major League Baseball draft is going to come away with, most likely, going to come away with one of the top 13 players in all of the minors.
Yeah, with someone who could be providing help before very long. Yeah. And in Skeen's case, you know, perhaps, I mean, it would mean the Pirates would need to get back in contention. And then they might think about bringing him up. But if they draft, whoever drafts Paul Skeens, as we're looking at the draft order, probably isn't going to want to start his clock this year with the team, you know, not fighting for a playoff spot.
No, I would think that between between Pittsburgh, Washington, and Detroit, you're probably not looking at three. You're probably not looking at three teams that are going to be playing playoff chase baseball in August and September. So they might take it easy. You know, Texas has that fourth pick.
Yeah, that's right. I was looking at that.
I mean, Texas could be a team, especially if someone went Max Clark early. You know, maybe the Texas Rangers think that one of those three players, if they fell to them, because you're probably not a high school outfielder, probably isn't coming to the rescue for a playoff team right now. But if one of those top three players fell to the Rangers, maybe you're looking at something a little bit different for this. Then you're looking at maybe one of those three guys in the show.
And the Twins got the fifth pick.
That's right.
So,
the Twins aren't out of it either.
I mentioned the Reds at seven, but the Rangers, Twins, and Reds right now are definitely in the postseason picture. I mean, I know we're just barely past the halfway point.
I wonder if you're Texas. Do you let the fact that you're in contention right now influence your pick at
all? Man, I tell you what. No, if I'm wherever I am, I'm taking the best player available.
Even if it might be a couple of years.
The best player. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, the best prospect on the board. The guy,
yeah.
The guy that you project as eventually.
And you know me, yeah. I'd probably take the best hitter.
Yeah, you don't trust pitchers. But, I mean,
no.
It's well, because there are high level college hitters in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
After
absolutely
the top
there
three.
Are.
You were talking about Joseph Gonzalez or Jacob Gonzalez, the Ole Miss
mm-hmm.
shortstop, who might you know might pull off some sort of milestone.
Yeah, hard to believe Ole Miss has never had a position player taken in the first round. Pitchers, yes, but no position players.
And a lot of folks have Jacob Gonzalez going in the top 10, and so and some places mm-hmm. have him. You know, near closer to the top five, where you know if Texas is fourth, then they think, hey, you know,
some of it would have to do if you really have a dearth at you know you really have a hole at one position, you may want to do that. It's funny, I mean, sometimes you'll see teams drafting three or four catchers or three. You know, shortstops doesn't surprise me as much because shortstops generally can move to quite a few different positions. You see shortstops wind up, you know, if they grow a little bit, they're third baseman. If they're maybe not as quick, they go to second base, or they can go into the outfield.
You mentioned Jack Wilson's son during the commercial
yeah.
break, right?
Yeah, that's, he's a top prospect in Arizona.
And he's projected as a top 20 pick by Fangraphs in this upcoming draft. And there's a kid from Virginia, a high school player, who at the moment is going to try to play both ways. And so he is.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Bryce, I heard some talk about that the other day.
Bryce Eldridge is his name, and he's going to at least.
He wants to be the next Ohtani.
He's made it clear to major league teams that he wants to try hitting and pitching as a prospect, and wants
you know,
to go to an organization.
Don't you
wants
feel,
to go to an organization that can foster that?
And you know, for years it was just absolutely no, and you'd see players that were fabulous. Two-way players, even in college, just they were either made pitchers or hitters. And then you'd have – and, I mean, the first unicorn was Rick Ankiel, you know, who was such a good yeah. pitcher with the Cardinals. And then he just sort of lost his ability to throw strikes. But, man, he could hit.
Well, and
I mean, he ended up coming back and being an everyday outfielder. I mean, there had to have
Ankiel
been.
Was Ankiel celebrated for his hitting while he was a pitcher?
Yes, he was.
Okay, because that's something I don't
yes,
remember
he was.
As much. Because I mean, there have been pitchers that people,
he
you
was
know.
One. He was always considered one of the most dangerous hitting pitchers that there were. But, you know, you'd only get two or three at-bats twice a week
and,
if you were in the rotation.
And the National League didn't have the DH,
no.
which I think also changes this a little bit because maybe it's more plausible to be a pitcher who contributes without playing the field the other days of the week if you don't want you know.
I always wondered you know how some of these guys would have been if they'd been allowed to try to continue like either hitting on the days they weren't pitching or pitching occasionally because you'd have some of those converted pitchers who were playing the outfield that were throwing the ball 98 into second or third or home. There had to have been, I'm sure, some players who we probably know of that we would have known a lot better had they been given the opportunity to play both ways.
I'll defer to the folks who know a lot more about like the everyday life of the Major League Baseball player about this. I would think that maybe it's a bridge too far to have a pitcher also working a position in the field and hitting.
Yes, maybe position
now,
in the field.
Now that the DH is everywhere,
right?
Now that all you know, the National League has the DH too. I think we might see more pitchers.
I think you will see
who
want
to contribute as DHs too. But I think also having like this Bryce Eldridge, I believe is officially listed as a first baseman / pitcher.
It makes sense,
and he's gonna first base.
You know that's not quite the same as being a center fielder or a shortstop.
And maybe you know what? Maybe you want to stay sharp at a position in case the pitching thing doesn't work out,
right?
You know, and you switch over. But I would be. I think that the working defensively at a position in the field would be the thing that I would be more worried about giving that added responsibility if a guy is going to focus on me, especially a starting pitcher. Like if you're going to be a once, you know, once every couple
of
days.
You could have the Bobby Thigpen. Bobby Thigpen, who held the major league record for saves and, of course, was at Mississippi State, was a heck of a right fielder. He was a heck of a right fielder.
Relief pitcher who plays the field is a little bit different. But I would think that a starter, you'd want focusing on that.
I want to see that again. I want to see it like you see it in high school or sometimes in college. Here's the guy. It's like, okay, you go out to the mound and you call one of the other guys. There's a big gathering at the mound, and then one of the guys who had already been there in the field stays in to close the game or to take over.
So they bring in Tatis or something to close out the game. Yeah, I don't hate it. Some big arm outfielder.
You
got
a guy. Well, you know, you had a guy like Sean Dunstan threw the ball over 100 miles an hour from shortstop. Or I mean, Dela Cruz has got that 100 mile an hour. You know,
O'Neill Cruz, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be sort of fun to see. All right, what do you think? 334-321-1390.
This, by the way, is what we would be doing if these microphones weren't on.
This is what we would be talking about right now. This is just fun talk for us. Let's get to Jerry before we get to our final break of hour number one. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Interested in the going both ways, pitching and hitting, is becoming popular again. And I was just thinking about that guy from Florida. I think his name's Cagliano.
Yes, Caglione.
He's an exceptional athlete. What do you think he'll be going next year? I think next year's draft.
Yeah, Caglianone. Yeah, I would think right now most people feel like his future is more as a hitter than a pitcher. But, I mean, he's left-handed.
And I believe he is – most folks have him as the top player in the 2024 draft, too. Like, I know that's sort of – I mean, some of that could change depending on developments. But throughout most of this season, you heard him talked about as the top player on the board next year.
Yeah, he led Florida in homers. I think he had 31. And, of course, he could throw it 100 miles an hour. But
he fits that – first baseman that comes in and closes the game, you know, guy sits out there, plays first base, and then, you know, at the end of a ball game, you could bring that arm in.
I might have this wrong. Did he reclassify, too, and start his college career a year early? Like
I think he did.
So he still has to spend the 3 years at Florida, but he's going to be one of the younger players on the board in next year's draft, too, which will make him all the more attractive to teams because they get a guy who's a little bit younger than some of the players as experienced as he is.
Well, you know, good athletes can play multiple positions.
They're not kidding.
All right, see you later.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Hi, Jerry here from University Ace Hardware. I've lived in Alabama all of my life and in Auburn for 35
years. 7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, got about a minute or so left here in hour number one. And yeah, that was a fun conversation. I was, you know, every year there are some outstanding two-way baseball players in college. And it's just very rare when, it had been Ohtani. I mean, nobody really wanted to give those guys a chance to play. I mean, what you see sometimes is, you know, players converted from catcher to pitcher or guys that played both ways and struggle either hitting or pitching, you know, trying the other way. But it's something I think you're going to see more of just because of how good. Now, they're not going to be as good as Ohtani. He is great at both. But it's definitely something I think that might give some front offices at least the inclination to let's see what some of these guys could do.
So something we'll talk about in hour number two. Remember Jake Crane from Crane & Company joining us at 5:30. I talked with Christian Clemente yesterday on the Observer podcast, and he had some thoughts about recruiting and where things are going, including Cam Coleman, which is still a pretty big story. A&M coming to Central Phoenix City and landing one of the top players in the state for the class of 2024.
as somebody that from all indications and reports looked like he was headed to Auburn.
Right, and for at a position where Auburn is really looking to land young impact players, mm-hmm. now I think it changes how important some of the other top targets on the board are for the class of 2024.
We're halfway done here on the Thursday Drive. Again, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of the hour. But until then, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us.
1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another nice-looking and hot July afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Drew here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. We'll remind you here momentarily of how you can do so. But first, hour number two of the drive, brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And one of the ways you can get through, and actually the preferred way, so that we can interact.
Well, I don't want to prioritize.
Well, I do. I'll tell you. Okay. I prefer being able to talk and hear their question, respond, and then if they have a follow-up, it's just that's less trouble for me.
I think it's up to you.
Talking is less trouble for me than typing. That's because I'm an old. But yeah, you can call us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to espnau.com and use the Podcast Center, or just go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And Bill has opted to call us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get to him. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. You know, that brought back a memory when you talked about Rick Ankiel. If I'm not mistaken, he made the All-Star team one year. And that whole thing started in the All-Star game. He couldn't throw a strike, mm-hmm. and it carried on into his season. And ended up going back to the minor leagues, and looked like his career was over. But I remember watching that. I guess that was back in the 80s, early 90s or 80s.
I think it was a playoff game, wasn't it? Are you sure it was an All-Star game?
Like, yeah.
I think it was a...
I was thinking it was the postseason as well.
Yeah, I remember having, yeah. he had a disastrous appearance in a Cardinals post game, in a Cardinals playoff game, and it sort of derailed his really promising... Maybe it was his rookie year or his second year in?
It was more than his rookie year, because he was like rookie of the year, one of the top rookies that there was as a pitcher, and then it was like... He was in the rotation, I was thinking.
Five wild pitches in game one of the 2000 NLDS for the Cardinals.
Wow. Yeah, I know it was a long time ago, and I couldn't remember what it was.
No, but it was a big spot. I mean, it makes sense that, you know, a playoff game or an All-Star game, like those would be the games that are on, you know, national TV, on Fox, you know, in the lights. Like those are the moments where, where the pressure is elevated.
And I was glad to see he came back later on in his career and became a fairly accomplished outfielder, wasn't he?
He was a really good defensive outfielder who also had tremendous power. I mean, he had a couple – let's see it. He had a 25-homer season in 2008 with the Cardinals. I mean, he finished his career hitting .240, but, he hit .285 the first year he came back. I'm looking at his stats. He was – pretty much out of the majors for 6 years between 2001 wow. and 2007. Came back up in 2007, then was a regular for the Cards in 2008 and 2009. Hit 36 homers those 2 years.
So he was in the minors for 6-7 years.
Yeah, he was. He tried to continue pitching for a while, and. And then he finally gave up pitching, I believe, in 04, and wow. that's when he started deciding to see if he could make it back as an outfielder. Nobody thought he would make it back, so I mean it's an amazing story that he did.
You're right. I remember that. That was a great story. Obviously, a tremendous athlete field to change and to the position player and actually get back to the big leagues and have a good career. Yeah, when you get with Jake here in a little bit, I'm interested what he thinks about the receiver at Phoenix City. I was kind of disappointed in that, but I guess it's the day and time we live in where guys come in just buy players like somebody buys a used car. So I guess that's the way it is.
I mean, you don't want to jump to the conclusion that it was entirely, but you know, I'll be clear too. Like if you know, it's hard. Like I don't know what I would do in the position of a player being offered eyebrow raising NIL deals to pick certain schools, right? Like I understand. Like, it's easy for me, but hey, man, think about the loyalty, think about the big picture. It's like that's a bag full of money if you pick this certain school.
I'm sure whether it be Auburn or anybody else, I'm sure somebody's giving him an attractive NIL deal. I wouldn't think it
would. That's why I'm reluctant to think it's just NIL.
Yeah,
Don't think that Auburn
is not competitive with most in NIL they are
clearly A&M is well positioned in the NIL field, but it's not like they're cleaning up and getting every single player. You know, they have to pick and choose as well, which makes me, we were talking about the other potential connections there. I mean, A&M, I mean, if you want to look at them as just a receiver away, you know, with an opportunity for playing time. Or
I heard Carter say earlier that he may have some family there in College Station, too, and that's something I hadn't heard.
Patrick Nix, you know, played for Jimbo Fisher, as I mentioned on the show earlier this week. You know, there's you know, some other stuff. But yeah, it does seem like this is one where, you know, not to sound like Nick Saban or Lane Kiffin, you know, year and a half ago, but that does sound like NIL played a big role in the young man making this decision.
And you know, it was such an about face, and I was just thinking, you know, I saw A&M play last year. You're talking about a dumpster fire that had so many promising prospects the year before, and that whole thing out there now is. Is, you know, it is suspect at best how that's going to go over. You said something yesterday, and real quick, months ago, about the stadiums, I think, or maybe it was another show, one before you. I've been out there a number of times. And
no, Jason was talking about the fact that he said it's not the toughest place to go because
it's
is big, but it is not as intimidating. The noise doesn't just resonate and feel like, you know, it's never going away like it does in some stadiums.
Well, the core cadets, they do some kind of a humming thing. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like a big bee's nest down there. It's not a loud place. I mean, I've been out there a number of times, and I was surprised when we went out there in 13 for that turnaround upset we had out there. That it just was not loud. But anyway, guys, I enjoyed the show, and Morgan.
Appreciate the call, Bill. 334-321-1390.
Not like, and this gets back to my conversation with Christian Clemente yesterday, which you can catch on the Observer, on the Auburn Observer website. But the it's not as though Cam Coleman was the only receiver Auburn was targeting in 2024.
No, not at all.
And it's not as though the ship has sailed with Cam Coleman just because he hasn't signed. Yeah, he hasn't signed. And I think there's also the chance of, you know, we'll see what happens with A&M this season, and could that.
I think that could have a huge factor. I mean, if A&M struggles and the Auburn passing game is something that, I mean, a receiver looks and sees, you know, a lot of promise from the Auburn passing game, an opportunity to step right in and be close to home. I mean, there are quite a few selling points, but Auburn has to prove it on the field.
Right. So I don't think Auburn is is closing the door on the possibility of flipping Cam Coleman eventually. You know, they'd love to stay in it. Perry Thompson, right?
Absolutely.
Would be the receiver where I think now a lot of the attention shifts. Not they're giving up on Cam Coleman at all, but if Cam Coleman's recruitment holds, if his commitment to A&M holds, it makes Auburn's need for Perry Thompson.
Oh, even more. You're absolutely right.
Increases.
And you've got Big Cat coming up, you know, in 3 weeks.
Right, and I forget if Perry Thompson is the player who there's somebody Christian mentioned during the show there's somebody who's supposed to announce a commitment a couple of days before Big Cat weekend.
Yeah,
Is it Perry Thompson?
Well, he's been committed to Alabama, but he may be
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not Perry Thompson. Yeah, maybe it's somebody else
committed
who had
to Alabama.
It was somebody else. Who's got an announcement? And it's like,
either
it's going to be really awkward that he's at Big Cat days after committing,
or
somewhere
he
else,
doesn't show. Or, I mean, because if they commit somewhere else, they may not come.
Or he's committing to Auburn, and then he's going to be one of the more one of the more exciting
and be one of the top recruiters.
Yes, absolutely. So there's a couple ways that could go.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. When we get Jason and Brian back on as well, we'll talk about some of the guys already that are on the list to be here for Big Cat. Yeah, there's a good bit going on, as you can tell. I mean, you know we're getting closer to football. We're a week and a half away from SEC Media Days. We're 3 weeks away from Big Cat Weekend, and about 4 weeks away from the start of football practice. So, I mean, it is getting here and getting here in a hurry. 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Again, don't forget Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. So we're open until then. Anything that you want to talk about? Let's see. What else is anything else
we haven't touched on? Do you know off the top of your head when Big Cat Weekend is?
The 29th.
Okay. I'm trying to find out the.
So it'll be 3 weeks from Saturday, I believe.
Right, because KJ Bolden is committing a couple of days after Big Cat Week, and I believe he's expected to attend that weekend. Big Time Safety,
right.
Big Time Safety out of Buford, Georgia. But there's that should be a
Trying to remember who it was too. I heard the same thing, and I don't recall who it was. I think it was some word came out last week while last week. I didn't keep quite as close a tab on everything. It's tough to do when you're on the beach and you're looking at the glare on your phone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. You want to take a break?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Hi, this is Clay McCall here from University Ace Hardware. I've lived in the Auburn area for over 28 years.
211-390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. And the guy we were trying to think of a little while ago was DeMarcus Riddick.
That's right. DeMarcus Riddick from...
Chilton County, Clanton, Alabama.
That's right, Clanton, Alabama zone. He's a four-star linebacker currently committed to Georgia. He has an announcement scheduled for July 26th, which is when you're already committed, I don't know how you would classify the announcement on the 26th or what you would describe it as, but he's got an announcement scheduled a couple of days before. I think it was Senzel who hit that home run in the 10th.
Yeah, Steer made. I was trying to get Drew to look at the defensive play he made in right field.
Oh, so Robin, yeah, Steer, yeah, Steer had the home run in the outfield. Yeah, because Senzel put the Reds up, and man, they're really playing well.
They really are.
Yeah, so Riddick has an announcement scheduled on the 26th. Big Cat a couple of days later
says it's going to be his final decision. He's been committed to Georgia for a while.
Feels like if he's at Big Cat Weekend, he'll be very welcome.
I would,
because the belief is that maybe he'd committed.
Yeah, I would
to
think if he sticks with Georgia, it would probably be sort of an odd thing for him to be at Big Cat a couple of days later.
Oh, and the other piece of news that just across the wire, switching sports but staying with an Auburn player, you've got Walker Kessler, who has just been named. He's one of the 12 players that will be on the U.S. men's national team for USA Basketball as they play in the World Cup later this summer. That's the – I don't know where the World Cup is.
What a year it's been for Walker Kessler.
Outstanding season for Walker, and now as he enters his first offseason as a professional. World Cup's going to be held in the Philippines, Japan, and Indonesia. This year's the FIBA World Cup getting started later this summer. It's not a guarantee with the Olympics, I think Paris Olympics next summer. Not a guarantee that the 12 men named to the USA men's national team will be the same 12 on next year's Olympic team, but you'd think they have a leg up on anyone. And I don't know how many, you know, I don't know if there's like a big name veteran out there that doesn't have a gold medal that would want to join. It feels like a lot of the veterans now are, you know, guys that could, you know, maybe allow a younger team that, you know, full of mostly first time Olympians to try their luck. But the 12 players named to the USA team, Paolo Banchero, who just won Rookie of the Year, didn't he? For the Magic for first overall pick in last year's draft. Michael Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, former first round pick from the Timberwolves from Georgia. He just got the Supermax, by the way. He just got the 200 something million dollar mega contract from the Timberwolves, so he'll be part of their long term plans. Tyrese Halliburton, who we saw, I believe, when he was at Iowa State, saw him come to Auburn in the SEC Big 12 challenge.
Yeah,
he had an outstanding season. Halliburton on the national team. Josh Hart, the former Laker, along with Brandon Ingram. Also, I think they were in the same trade. Both in the Anthony Edwards trade, going to represent the United States. Jaren Jackson Jr., the big post for Memphis. Cam Johnson, the sharpshooter. He's Phoenix, right? Isn't that a? I think I have that right. Look that one up, Drew. Make sure I didn't screw that one up. You've got Bobby Portis, the veteran big, who was in Milwaukee recently. Austin Reeves, the sharpshooting Laker from Arkansas. And the reason I bring this up, Walker Kessler is going to be there in the middle. I would imagine in line for a lot of playing time as well.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, Jaren Jackson and Walker Kessler will provide. Bobby Portis too, but I think it'll be a lot of Jackson, a lot of Kessler down low. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Walker Kessler was on the Olympic team next summer, representing the United States in Paris as one of the players on the men's national
team. Man, he has proven he is one of the just elite shot blockers and pretty good shooter, too.
I'm guessing Barkley's the only Auburn player with a gold medal.
Yes.
I would think that's probably right, I don't think
anybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the other. I mean, the others would be the sharpshooters there in the 80s, but they weren't on they weren't on any of those teams. And so, yeah, and Walker Kessler potentially has the chance, you know, a long way away from the Paris Olympics next summer, but could be a couple of Auburn players, a couple of Auburn athletes. Front and center in the Paris Olympics next summer. You got Suni Lee looking for a second gold medal, and Walker Kessler could potentially be there on the USA men's basketball team.
Yeah, that's fun to think about. 334-321-1390 is the number to get you through here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we talked a little baseball with the Major League Draft and things like that. We haven't really gone that much. We did a little yesterday, talked to just some about the Braves who snapped that one-game losing skid. Man, they are really, really playing well. And I know that their tickets are getting scarcer and scarcer. It's really something. I mean, you look at the excitement that is building. We talked about yesterday how baseball itself, I mean, the pace of the game has made it more fun. It just feels like there is more interest. I heard on MLB, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday, that the attendance is up. The average attendance is up over 15% at Major League Baseball this year, over a year ago. And, I mean, a lot of it has to just be, I mean, it's you get in, you get out quicker. It's faster paced. It's more fun to watch.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I think some of it's, you know, you have more teams. I think the expanded playoffs has allowed more teams to have at least the perception of contention.
And you've got some teams that nobody expected to be in contention that are playing pretty well.
I think the speeding up the game has probably helped on the attendance front somewhat, though. I think there's that. And I think there's also, I mean, we're seeing an uptick in general, you know, sort of a, I wonder how much of it's residual from the disruption of 2020 and 2021, that there are people that are maybe more excited to go out and see.
Oh, yeah, know, yeah. Outdoor, getting back out.
Outdoor events and restrictions. I mean, they're, you know, they're musicians that are on tour for the first time in a very long time.
Oh, they were, yeah.
Right now, and those are
they
some,
have been over the last. Yeah.
Those are some pretty. By the way, you see
9 months.
What
or
is
so.
It? Last Eagles tour ever? Is that the?
That's what they're saying.
Is that what they're saying?
I can't afford this one.
No, I mean stadiums too, right? And still,
golly, man, no kidding.
This is a and you mentioned Rays Braves going on this weekend.
Yes,
and that is. I mean, looking like you want to be careful with this because a lot can happen in the baseball postseason. These two teams look like the class of their respective leagues.
Well, right now they are. I mean, there's no question about it right now.
I mean, whether or not that translates to a World Series matchup between the Rays and the Braves remains to be seen. But right now, the Rays and the Braves, the top teams, both the top two records in baseball, Braves going in tonight, 58-28. Bill, 30 games over 500 heading into All-Star weekend, and the Rays right behind them. 57-32, and that was a Rays team that started the season unbeatable, right?
It was
18-2 in their first 20 or something.
The Marlins have the second best record in the National League, and they're 8 games back.
Oh, if the Marlins weren't playing as well, you know, if the Marlins were playing up to expectations, down to expectations, then you could already start printing NL East championship shirts almost. Although we've seen some teams let big leads in that division slip away, so you want to be careful. And the Phillies and the Mets are both teams seemingly, you know, you would think they're capable of playing better baseball.
Well,
than
the Phillies are still, I mean, they're still in the wild card picture right now. Yeah. I mean, they're in the postseason picture. And the Mets are digging themselves a hole that's going to be really, really difficult to get out of.
I wonder with the Phillies, you've seen a couple of pitchers on that team that weren't as, you know, that came into this season not nearly as sharp, and you wonder if it's, man, deep playoff run, especially right. I mean, with the carries over and can,
or a lot of celebrating
or
in
a
the
lot
off
of
season.
Celebrating, yeah, a lot of celebrating. You know,
less time to train in the off season. I don't know, maybe
a lot of
that
potential
way.
Things, but that's a Phillies team that you would think would be dangerous if they if they snuck back in after winning the National League last year.
Talked about the Reds a little earlier. It just doesn't. It's hard to believe that they're going to be able to hang on. I mean, you feel like the Brewers should be better than the Reds, but I mean they've still got to get some guys back. I mean they really need to get Brandon Woodruff back, Corbin Burns, try to, you know, have him get on track and continue. But I don't know. I mean the Reds keep doing it. I mean I know that this is the Nats that they beat again today, but the team that the other team people thought there in the Central, the Cardinals are terrible. This is the worst Cardinals team in over 30 years. I heard last night, this is only the third time in the history of the fourth time in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals franchise that they've lost 50 of their first 85 games.
Do they have tradable pieces? Like, because some of those guys are on expensive deals, right?
I mean, I guess they could. Yeah, they could. I mean, the Goldschmidt would bring a lot. You think they're going to trade Arenado?
That's what I wonder. I mean, like, what would it?
Dylan Carlson, the Totter O'Neill can't stay healthy. I guess. Hey, Wilson Contreras is hitting now. Somebody else would be glad to take him off their hands. They wanted to blame him for the pitching earlier this season. He was the guy that was his fault that the Cardinals were not doing well.
I mean, looking at the most desirable piece, if they wanted to trade younger guys, would be Jordan Walker, right?
Well, Walker, their fan base would revolt.
Why would, I mean, unless the pitching is that dire that you know that you need to find
no
a way
you trade a guy that is a, you know, he looks like a future star. I mean. I still don't know why they sent him down in the first place. He wasn't doing that bad when they sent him down. Isn't he hitting 280 something right now?
Yeah, I mean that would be the guy
with
where it's
some power and speed.
Yeah, I mean he would be the like if they
he's one of the he's one of your building blocks.
But I guess the notion there would be do you trade young players thinking that you have a window open right now that you need to
I mean they're 35-51.
Yeah, like you don't trade young.
They're 16 games under 500 right now.
Would people want Lars Nootbaar? Like,
yes. Okay. Yeah, I think Nootbaar and Carlson are a couple of pieces that they might move.
Right, there you go. You got some movable pieces maybe. And probably some major shakeups coming after the season.
Oh, yeah. I would think front office.
Front office change.
Seriously. Yep. Front office.
Yep.
manager, yes, you've got to make some, because this is not a place where you ever expect to see the Cardinals. All right, we're approaching our bottom of the hour break. We'll go ahead and get to it. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side, so stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
ESPN 1067 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. 26 minutes away from 6 o'clock, and we're efforting Jake Crane. He may have needed a reminder.
Yeah, got a confirmation late yesterday that he could do it, but something might have popped up, or you know, there could be technical problems. So I mean, Jake's usually pretty good about.
Oh
this,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I'm not too worried, and I think that if we can't get him in the next few minutes, we'll have him on again very soon. But yeah, efforting Jake Crane at the moment from Crane & Company. Usually our Tuesday guest. We didn't do shows on Monday or Tuesday this past week, so we've moved some things around. Probably just call Barrett. See what he's up to while we're at it. And
I thought about that yesterday.
Ambush him with a call, but yeah. And Brian Matthews, you know, met you know, he was nice enough to play you know, do double duty last week. He'll be back probably on Monday.
Yeah, he'll be back Monday.
Yeah, looking forward to talking with Brian again as we get closer. Like you said, next week really get into Media Days previews. I mean, and we'll see Jake up there at Media Days, but. That's something, and we'll be doing wall to wall coverage here on ESPN 106.7. But that's
we still don't know who all's going, who's representing teams.
We still have not heard announcements.
I mean, usually by now you do.
I would think maybe next week.
I'm sure that by next week we would know.
Any what's your updated opinion? What three players is Auburn bringing?
I have to think about this.
I know, right?
I mean, I think there are just more players that come to mind. On the defensive side, and I think I think you know Anders makes sense. Well, he's gone.
No. That would work. I would think maybe.
No, I'm trying to think. All right, so well, you could go with your Aussie punter.
I don't know
as
if
a
there's
specialty.
A specialist. I don't know if they're bringing a specialist. I'm thinking it's offensive.
Two defensive
defense.
And one offensive.
Yeah, I mean they could decide on a specialist, but I'm thinking. I mean, they seem comfortable letting Marcus Harris speak to the media. He's been made available,
right.
And he's somebody who's been around for a little while. So I mean, I would think my guess would be I'm gonna go. Now here's the thing: do you think any first year player? Do you think they bring a transfer?
Yeah, I don't. Well, you got a first year coach, so why not? Maybe. I don't know. I tell you what, let's get to Jake Crane. He called us.
Oh, all right, good.
So we've got a few minutes with the man from Crane and Company here on this Thursday. Hey, Jake, thanks for joining us here on the Thursday Drive. How you doing, man?
Definitely, guys, doing well. I don't know. My phone kind of went crazy there for a couple minutes.
Hey, Jake, we'll bring you right into the conversation we were just having, and I'll pose the question to you. I imagine sometime next week we're going to find out who's representing schools at Media Days with Media Days.
That'd be pretty cool, though. Well, just
wild
go card. Surprise. You don't have any idea.
Just find out. Yeah, we got to quickly do research and ask questions based on it. Wouldn't be as much fun
for
the guys.
What they do is they bring them in and they don't put names on them. They're going to find out who really knows their players.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun for everyone but me sitting in the small room trying to figure out who this Arkansas.
Who am I talking to?
Yeah, who's this Arkansas guy? It kind of seems like a lineman. I don't know. All right, so how about this, Jake? We were talking about who Auburn might bring, and there's a bunch of variables. First-year coach, half the roster wasn't on last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
You've got experience, but also exciting sort of younger guys. How about one player you feel confident Auburn brings to Media Days? You got somebody on your roster that you think will be, you feel like with some confidence will be one of the three representatives for Auburn in Nashville a couple weeks?
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see if they bring anybody from the secondary. You know, does DJ come, or you know, maybe they bring Robbie Ashford, a quarterback that was there last year, that was a holdover. You know, obviously staying with Hugh Freeze and company. So I would guess if I was a betting man, I don't think he'd create a rift between Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford. Obviously, Peyton hadn't been there for that long. But I would say I'd probably go DJ James, man. That's one I'd probably put money on.
That's a good pick. I think that is a guy who a couple players on this team had real decisions to make about whether or not they wanted to seriously pursue the NFL draft and be a fairly high pick. I don't know where DJ would have been taken if he'd gone in the draft, but I think there would have been a market for his services. If he had, the decision to stick around is a great story, and it was one of the not a ton of bright spots on last year's season, but the play of DJ James was one of them. I was talking about Marcus Harris as somebody that they feel really comfortable. Yeah. Nehemiah, I think he's been around longer than DJ. I think DJ's a little more outgoing than Nehemiah, but I think Nehemiah has a story to tell as well, as does Jalen Simpson. For that matter, somebody who's happy.
I'll tell you what, if it is DJ, he might be the lightest representative there. Did you see what he was listed at in Auburn's latest roster, Jake? He was listed.
No, I didn't see. What was he, about 165?
160. Hey, you're right on it. 164 is what he was listed
and
at.
And what's Batie listed? Isn't he like a pound heavier or
something?
Yeah,
but he's not. I don't think he's going to go represent Auburn at the SEC.
He's going to represent Auburn returning kick.
Yeah,
no,
you're right about that.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
about
he's listed 165, I believe.
Yeah, I think the two.
Actually,
of them
he's up to 170. On
Auburn's okay, he's 170 there. So he had a peanut butter sandwich before the before they did the
And you know the last time Dan and I were 170.
Dan was born about 6'4", 220.
Yeah, that's right.
I was 170 maybe when I was a senior in high school. Before then.
Him and Jamarcus Russell were the biggest babies born in the South the last 35 years.
broke the record at the hospital in D.C. You know, I would think, I want to say it was Jason Caldwell who also tossed Luke Deal out there as somebody who has been sort of seen as a leader around the program. That's a senior. I don't want to speak out of turn. I think that's a married guy. There's a couple reasons why I could see a coach. You know, if you're looking for veteran leadership and a guy who's been through the fire, Luke Deal might be an interesting choice.
Yeah.
For media, somebody we talked to, I'm pretty sure it was Caldwell, who said, I think his answer to the question of one guy you feel confident they're going to bring, I think his guy was Luke Deal. Which is an interesting one too.
So many questions on offense or newcomers on offense. I mean, there are just more options there on the defensive side.
Do you bring one of the new tackles, Dylan Wade and Gunnar Britton? I think would both be intriguing options to bring.
I feel like you should have to bring at least one offensive lineman. I feel like that should be a rule. They don't get any love anyway, or they don't get all the glory that the skill players get on either side of the ball, or even defensive linemen in general. I'd love to throw them a bone, and you have to bring an offensive lineman.
You know, on the
and
off
they're
chance,
usually really good interviews.
How about this, Jake? On the off chance that you're going to have to go back into the portal and find another left tackle sometime soon, maybe you bring Dylan Wade and let him tell his story about why he picked Auburn, and maybe that helps you down the line because that's a position. I mean, Hugh Freeze gets it. I mean, he understands exactly how important it is. But Auburn might still be looking. I mean, this might be a temporary thing with Wade and Britton, and Auburn might have to be hunting for starting tackles again soon.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, nowadays in the era of the transfer portal and tackles and really quality offensive linemen and defensive linemen in general, I mean, they're worth their weight in gold coming out of high school, obviously, but they're not a proven commodity yet at the college level. You get a guy that's a proven commodity at the college level, that's like finding a unicorn getting ridden by a leprechaun. There's not a lot of guys out there that can do that. There's a lot of FCS players that can come play wide receiver in Division I or play DB or play some of the other positions, but there's not a lot of offensive tackles that are in that portal that are able to come in and block SEC defensive ends. And when you're new like Hugh Freeze with the transfer portal rules now, it's okay to supplement as you develop high school players on the offensive line and defensive line the first couple years. My kind of rule of thumb is you want to use the transfer portal to plug the holes in the ship. You don't want to build the ship out of the transfer portal. And I think that's a smart play by Hugh Freeze early because that's where the game's won and lost.
Yeah, you've got to plug as many holes as you can early, but then you're right. You want the infrastructure to be with the high school recruits. Well, speaking of recruiting, it was – good and bad for Auburn here as they pick up DJ Barber, but a big surprise to just about everybody I've talked to with Cam Coleman announcing that he's headed to Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, there are more misses than Wendell Green Jr. shooting at the buzzer when it came to Cam Coleman. I mean, everybody had him going to Auburn. But, you know, here's the thing that I say. At the end of the day, and look, Texas A&M, it's easy to talk about NIL, and that's a part of it. But there was a combination of things, and every recruiting circumstance is different. But at some point, the last ingredient for Auburn, Hugh Freeze has got everything lined up. You got that new facility. You're selling out season tickets. Toomer's Corner is going to be absolutely nuts. The last piece of the puzzle, the last ingredient to bake the perfect cake is proving it on the field. Because even with NIL, even with the way college football has changed, people want to go play for a winner, especially out of high school. That's still something that matters a lot. And if Auburn can go out there and show progress on the field, then you just supercharged everything else, and you're going to start to get some of those kids and win some of these huge battles. But it takes that spark on the field, and that's what I think Hugh Freeze and them are going to do this year.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of folks sort of immediately go to the NIL explanation for
– It's
for,
an easy cop-out.
It is,
me.
And as we – like, we had a caller point out earlier, Jake, like, I'm pretty sure – most of the championship-level programs that were contacting Cam Coleman were making competitive NIL offers, too, or had the capability of doing it. It's not as though, yeah. Like, and again, we don't know what's going on, but you would assume that A&M isn't just blowing away the field as far as what they can offer financially, and it's something a little bit more competitive than that. And it was a sales pitch that Cam Coleman found receptive. NIL was probably part of it, but I mean, there are some other things in the pitch to go to A&M that landed for that young man too.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a couple things. Number one, kids were getting paid before NIL. This isn't some brand new thing that just got invented a couple years ago. So kids have been getting paid forever. Auburn's paid people. I'm talking about in the past, obviously. Auburn's paid people. Alabama's paid people. Everybody paid everybody. I can promise you that. Here's what goes into it. You have to be able to sit here and not just look at the result and say, oh, this kid went here. He must have gone just for this reason. In some circumstances, look, we all know money talks more than anything, and it's a big part of it, and some guys value it more than others.
Nobody's going to my school for those reasons, though, Jake.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, they were his first offer. He's familiar with the area. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances, and you have to give credit to the coaches who recruited him. I mean, again, it's not just something where you show up and say, hey, here, we'll write you a check for this, and it's this, that, and the other. So I think it's easy to make fun of A&M. You know, you sign the number one class, then you have a bad or a very average season yet again, and that's kind of the cop-out. And there's a little bit of that, but that doesn't tell the whole story, and I don't think it gives enough credit to the guys. I know how hard it is to recruit people. You recruit them all year round. There is no off-season for recruiting. Even during the dead period, you're finding ways to get in contact with guys. So, look, I mean, you got to tip your hat to A&M, but I tell you this much, the minute Auburn starts winning on the field and you start getting that mojo back on the field, you're going to start getting the Cam Colemans. And look, there's other guys out there too. You know what I want? These receivers are great. It's fantastic. Knock yourself out. I want that 5-star offensive tackle. I want that 5-star defensive end. That's when you're going to see that big jump to where now you're getting in the ring with Bama and Georgia, and you feel like you can go in there and kick their ass.
That's a great point. I know you got to run here in just a minute, but speaking of easy to make fun of, the NCAA comes out with some, now we're really going to get tough and we're not going to put up. What did you, I mean, what was the point of that from the NCAA?
No, it's. I think they're just throwing Hail Marys. I mean, they're toothless now. And in my opinion, after having to deal with them for a lot of my life, it couldn't happen to a better group of people. They've been replaced. The middleman's been replaced. And now you want to come out and act like, what, you're more important than federal law? Are you kidding me? And a lot of this, too, don't forget, a lot of this started, all right, with Memphis's head basketball coach. You know, we all know superstar Penny. Basically telling them to screw off. I mean, at the end of the day, the NCAA is going the way of the dodo bird. You're going to see them try and make a massive shift to just being over college basketball, and that's not going to work either. But the gall it takes to sit there and say that you're going to try and challenge federal or state laws, good luck, buddy. You're like security. You're not the police.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch. No, you got to run, Jake. Let everybody know what you got going on, what's coming up there at Crane & Company.
Oh, man, we're hot and heavy into college football. We're going back live Monday. We've got this special project we're almost done with, which is going to be announced shortly. We're really excited about it. We think everybody's going to like it. But we're live every weekday morning, 6:30 to 8 a.m. Central. We got Antonio Cromartie coming on. We got David Pollack coming on. We're talking everything. We're going to be at SEC Media Days. It's a home game here in Nashville for us. So come check us out. If you like talking ball, I think you'll enjoy it.
That's great stuff, Jake. Hey, thanks again for spending a little time with us today.
Always, man. Y'all know what's up. I appreciate y'all.
Hey, Jake, you bailing on Twitter? You threads guy?
See, okay, what is that? I keep saying everybody's talking about what is
it's,
this?
It's Instagram launched a Twitter competitor in the last 24 hours.
I mean, people have gotten some positive traction in the last.
Got a few people that have already signed up.
It's gotten.
You'll have people sign up. I mean, at the end of the day, you're trying to get the word out. If you're in media, I get it. I'll probably have one by next week. Now that you mentioned,
it's fragmented though, man. Wish we could go back.
Yeah, believe me, I'm with you, dog.
See you, Jake.
Later, man.
See ya.
Jake Crane joining us. Normally on Tuesdays. Of course, this past Tuesday was the 4th. He'll be with us hopefully again next Tuesday. We appreciate him spending a little time with us, and we will get to our final break of the Thursday Drive. Stick with us.
Hi, Jerry here from University Ace Hardware.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Thursday, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Did y'all catch any of the race on Sunday in the streets of Chicago? Well, the park, I guess.
Yeah, saw a little bit of it on TV. Wasn't really paying super close attention to it, but. It was a cool novelty, and I know it rated really highly in Chicago. A lot of folks, you know, watched the race in the city, but I heard, you know, it's too bad that the weather, you know, sort of undermined a little bit of it, but it sounded like a pretty cool event.
Oh yeah, and a Kiwi ends up winning it, which, I mean, it's not like he never won anything before. I think
was it his first
time.
Was it his first NASCAR race?
Yeah.
It
was his first start. He's one of only, I think, four who have ever done that. He's a sports car racing guy from New Zealand, but he's like a five-time champion, got like 60 wins. So it's not like, you know, he was a rookie, you know, behind the wheel, But I really enjoyed it. I hope they do more stuff like that. And I did like the way they had it set up, because I kind of thought they were going to try to do it like, you know, where all the tall buildings were, which that would have been, there'd have been no way you could have done that. But I did like the setup and everything. And I'm kind of a NASCAR road course guy, because I like the way they beat and bang, and, you know, not like the open wheel guys. You tear a wheel off and you're out of the, you know, you're out of the race. You can pretty much beat up those cars and still, you know, be competitive, because the aerodynamics is not as crucial on road course. But, Bill, speaking of Pensacola, I was there today.
Oh, yeah?
And thank God I went to Pensacola Beach, or I got there about 10 o'clock, because when I left at 11:30, the traffic trying to get to see the Blue Angels was backed up all the way to the public.
Yeah, that's a great show if you get a chance to see it. But yeah, I understand.
but I got the thing. I was like, you know what, Bill did his vacation at the perfect time, before 4th of July, before the Blue Angels.
Well, I mean, it just sort of. I mean, that's my birthday falls then, so it just sort of worked out. It worked out. It's like a good time to go take a little time off, and it's much easier to get around. You're right. Before the 4th.
Oh yeah. I was like, and I should write that on my calendar, and I meant to, because to stay away from, because I've gotten caught there trying to service the place, and there was no parking anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I try to stay away, but thank God I was, like, going the opposite direction
right.
of everybody this afternoon. So, but that's all I got, guys. War Eagle, we'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Just about out of time here on the Thursday Drive. Our thanks Thanks to Jake Crane for joining us on short notice and coming in here and you know, giving us some of his thoughts. Looking forward to what he's got going on, and stay tuned because we'll have some news.
Yeah,
big announcement. Some news shortly.
Big cool announcement could be coming up for our little circus here on the radio dial.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have it tomorrow. You never know. Sometime soon. So stay tuned. But we're out of time here on the Thursday Drive. Back with you tomorrow at 4. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.